Thank you. Take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 33. Hey, let's get out of here. Come on, be seated. Be seated. Spring break. It's spring break and I got things to do, all right? Let's go. Exodus chapter 33. In your Bibles, you're in Exodus chapter 33. Who wants to hear about Starbucks? I'm not talking about Starbucks, brother. I hate that wicked place. All right. We're in Exodus chapter number 33. Man, I love you guys. I enjoy teaching you, and what a blessing and a joy it is to be here now. This is my second year to be a teacher here, getting to teach the preaching class and Old and New Testament survey. And it's a pleasure, and I mean it. And I'm well aware that we're not perfect in this room by any stretch. But that being said, I think that I'm speaking and preaching to some of the finest young people in America right now. And I mean that. I often preach and meet different people, but those in this room, you've chosen to be here for the most part. The vast majority of you are hoping and planning to serve God with your whole entire life. And there's no greater thing in the world than to give your life in the service of the King. Many in your youth group stayed home and they're doing other things, and that's fine. That's fine. But you're here. And so for that, I want to thank you. And I want to say this: God needs you. And America needs you. And I don't say that in some light way. We need you to finish. We need you to come back clean. We need you to finish your race and to serve Jesus Christ with the rest of your life. And it would be a tragedy, really, Brother Douglas, it would be a tragedy for a student to come to Hiles Anderson College and to be here for 4 years and to somehow miss it. To gain all the things in the toolbox that maybe can help enhance a ministry, but to miss the main thing. I sat right over here as a freshman in 1997. And in 97, I sat there and didn't hardly know anybody and had only visited this place maybe two or three times in my life. Brother Hiles stood here, and I could remember him vividly saying, if I could give you one piece of advice as you go through Hiles Anderson College, he said, just one thing, just one piece of advice that I knew you would listen to, I would say this: walk with God. Walk with God. For 13 years, my pastor, Pastor Michael Lamb, and I, we would send people to Bible college, and we would try to tell them everything. I mean, just everything. Some of you pastors in the room, you know, we have poured our lives and we warn them about burning out, and we warn them about their finances, and we warn them about the wrong crowd that even exists here at Bible College, and we just want to see them make it. Everything, we just want to see them make it. And I would sit there and I would watch him in that senior appointment say this, when it was all said and done, he would say this. He would say, when you get to college, walk with God. Just walk with God. If you do nothing else, don't leave your Bible behind. Don't leave your prayer closet behind. Walk with God. Everything else will work out. Walk with God. For the past 2 years here in Hammond, as I've met with our young people and tried to lead them and do the best that I could do, I think that they would tell you by observing my life and the words that come out of my mouth, I've just tried to encourage them and to come alongside the way and to exhort them to walk with God. Walk with God. Exodus chapter number 33. I want you to leave your Bibles open there, and we're going to look back there. Don't close your Bibles, but let's just look at one verse for now, and then we'll get back to it. The Bible says this, the Lord speaking to his servant Moses, said this in verse number 21 of Exodus chapter 33. And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock." He said, "Moses, there's a lot going on in your life right now," he said, "but there is a place by me." And no amount of study, teenager, young person, college student, can replace that place by God. You'll go out on an average Sunday and you'll, or Saturday, and you'll visit. You'll go from house to house, and we want you to do that, and we encourage you to do that. But listen, as you make your visits, please don't forget that no amount of visitation can replace the visit at a place by God. "Behold, there is a place by me." No amount of activity or service or busyness is any kind of a substitute for getting alone at the place by God. Some of you have been there before. You know what I'm talking about. Hey, you freshmen, you remember those long summers that you had in high school where you had nothing to do? Couldn't imagine that you'd be as busy as you are right now, looking to get a few hours of sleep on a spring break. But remember when you were in high school and you had nothing to do and you walked with God? Some of you gave up TV for a few days for no reason other than to just get close to God. And hey, you found that place by God. There is a place. There is a place. When was the last time you visited the place by God? When was the last time you showed up? When was the last time you were there at the place that is by God? Hey, it's still there, friend. Not many people get there, but I'm here to tell you this afternoon, there's still a place by God. It's still there. When was the last time you visited the place by God? Father, I pray that you would bless the service. A new message, a simple message. First time I'll preach this, but Lord, regardless of the presentation, Lord, I pray the truth would get into our hearts and convict our souls. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would use the message. We need to find the place by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Quickly, Exodus chapter number 31. Earlier this year, I preached a message entitled Thin Places. And in Exodus chapter number 31, I took you to verse number 18, where the Bible says that after God had made an end of communing with Moses, look at it in verse number 18, the Bible says, "Two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God." And I told you about those thin places where a little bit of heaven touches earth, and I said how the finger of God reached out and touched two tables of stone and made an impression, and it was a thin place, and I encourage you to find a thin place with God. But in Exodus chapter number 32, just one chapter in front of that, Exodus 32, we see something that I did not see when I first preached the message. We see Israel committing what Moses and God would call a great sin. A great sin. Exodus chapter number 32, the sin of the golden calf. The people grew tired of waiting on God, and they wanted to go back to the way that it used to be in Egypt. Young people, you're getting ready to go home, and you're getting ready to get around some old friends, and hopefully it's all good for you there, but I hope that there's nothing inside of you that says, "I just want to go back to the way that it used to be in Egypt." Hey, there's nothing in Egypt worth living for. These folks forgot that in Exodus chapter number 32. They grew tired of waiting on God, and they fashioned this golden calf, and they worshiped that golden calf. In Exodus chapter number 33, the crux of the message here, Moses comes off the mountain. And you know the story. I don't need to rehearse the entire thing. He hears the rock music. The people are naked, dancing around this idol. It's a disgusting scene. He says, "You've sinned a great sin." And in Exodus chapter number 33, let's just look at what Moses did. Look at verse number 7. Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp. And he called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp.
Verse 9, and it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Verse 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Verse 14, and he said, God speaking to Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. If you ever had a time in your life where you begged for the presence of God, if you ever had a time in your life where you said, you know, I don't even want to take another step if God's not with me. That's where Moses was at. Look at verse number 18, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Verse 21, the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. Thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Hey, there's a place by God. You see, Moses grew tired of the sin of the crowd. Moses grew tired of the mediocrity. Moses grew tired of the apathy. And so he decides, when he sees this wicked scene, just overwhelmed, I'm sure, with discouragement, he decides, I'm just going to leave this place and I'm going to pitch a tent. I'm going to go outside of the camp. I'm going to go a long distance away. I'm going to set up shop outside of the camp. And this is where I'm going to meet God. And anybody that wants to meet God, you're welcome to join me. But I'm not going back there. I'm standing outside of the camp. God, show me your glory. God, make yourself known. God, I don't want to take another step. I don't want to be like them. I don't want to go back to Egypt. I don't want to worship a golden calf. I don't want to listen to that music and commit that immorality. God, I'm going to walk away and I'm going to pitch a tent and show me your glory. And God said, hey, there's a place by me. He said, there's a place by me. Come on, Moses, come to the cleft of the rock. There's a place by me, teenager. There's a place by God. And I want you to see four things about this place by God. Four things, and then we're going to be through. Number one, this place by God is a place of choosing. It's a place of choosing. Let me tell you something. Moses experienced God. He saw the glory of God. As much as any man on the history of planet Earth saw the glory of God, Moses saw it, he experienced it. But listen, it didn't happen by accident. He didn't just stumble upon God's presence one day. He didn't just stumble upon this place by God someday. Listen, he made a choice. He said, I'm going to leave where I'm at. I'm going outside of the camp. I choose to go there. And if you're ever going to find God, if you're ever going to experience God, you're going to have to make the exact same choice to leave where you're at. Let me tell you something. It's a great place. I love Hiles Anderson. I love the students here. But there needs to be some young men and some young women who rise above the apathy, who rise above the sin in the camp. And listen, not judgmental. We don't need to hear another sermon. You just need to get up and say, I'm out of here. I'm going to meet God without the camp. It's a place of choosing. A place of choosing. Moses chose to go there. Tired of the mediocrity. My heart rejoiced yesterday as I preached at chapel at Hammond Baptist. The senior came up to me and he said, Brother Judah, can I talk to you? I said, yes. And he just began to weep. He said, Brother Judah, I want it. I want it. I want it. And I said, what do you want? And he said, I just want it. I want what you have. I want what my dad has. I want what pastor has. He said, I want it more than I want the basketball, more than I want to graduate, more than I want. I just want it, Brother Judah. Hey, and my heart rejoiced because there's a young man who's making the choice to get without the camp. See, you're going to have to walk a little farther, friend. You're going to have to take a look around and say, this is all good, but I don't want this. I'm going without the camp. I'm going to pitch my tent out here. I'm going to meet God. When was the last time you did that? A place of choosing. A place of choosing. Secondly, I want you to see this in verse 22. This place by God, it's a place of hiding. Look what it says. It shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of a rock, and look at it, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. This place by God, it's a place of hiding. I'll cover thee. I imagine Brother Douglas Moses, when he came off that mountain, was pretty overwhelmed. I imagine he was pretty discouraged. Those of you that serve God, have you ever been overwhelmed? Hey, you students in the room, have you ever been discouraged? Have you ever looked around the dorm room and thought, man, this is the hope for America? Have you ever looked around the college and said, man, what are we doing? We're not as serious as we need to be. You ever been discouraged? You ever felt defeated? I imagine Moses came off that mountain, saw that great sin, and thought to himself, man, what's the point? What's the point? You ever say that to yourself? I've been a youth pastor 15 years, and there have been many times where I've walked away from a chapel, walked away from a youth activity, walked away from a counseling session, walked away from a meeting with some parents, and thought to myself, what's the point? What are we doing? There's no doubt Moses felt that way. Things are never going to change with these people. Let me speak to those in the room who have felt the disappointments of life, those who've experienced the defeats. Those who are sitting here right now, Satan's parked on your shoulder saying, hey, what's the point? The fiery darts of the devil have begun to find their mark. Temptation is strong. Flesh is weak. You're not strong enough to stand. As a matter of fact, if everything that were known about you were known, maybe you wouldn't even be a student in this college. But here's what I want to say to you. There's a place by God, and it's a place of hiding. Hey, you can get there. It's a place of hiding. I think about Brother Tom Bish who lost his wife, and our pastor was visiting him yesterday, and I asked how the visit went, and he said it's difficult, and he's lost without his wife, as understandably. But let me tell you something about that man of God. I believe with all of my heart that he'll stand. He'll come out victorious. How? Because he'll find that place by God, and he'll hide there. I think about Joe Brown, my dear friend, who years ago was in a hospital room and his wife was giving birth and that little baby came out and was dead and his wife was crying and he was crying. And today he's pressed forward. He sent me a text the other day, just had a new son. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hey, he's serving God. But how is he serving God? I promise you, in his darkest day, he found that place. It's a place of hiding. Place of hiding. I think about our own pastor getting a call at night saying that there's been an accident and making his way to a accident scene and realizing that he's lost his son. Oh, we enjoy hearing the testimony. We marvel at his strength and how could somebody stand up there? But I promise you there were dark days. There were weak moments. How can he do what he does today? He found that place by God, and it's a place, friend, of hiding. It's a place where you can go to get away. And God said, I'll cover you when you're weak. And hey, it's a place of hiding. When I came here, one of my joys of coming here was the thought that I'd be close to my sister Melissa. I love her. She's been an addict since a teenager. Struggled with different things, drugs, heroin, just struggled. And I thought to myself, I thought, you know what? They have that home in Hammond. They have that RU home. And maybe if I come up here to Hammond, maybe my sister will listen and maybe she'll come to that home and maybe she'll finally get right. And she was always so close, just didn't have the strength. And maybe if I'm there, I could push her and I can get her there. I came in early December. Before I could even make a phone call, a call came to me that my sister was in the hospital. My mom called in tears. Come see your sister. I got there. She was hooked up to machines. She's 43 years old. Hooked up to machines. She had overdosed the night before. And she wasn't coming out of it. The whole time I thought to myself, Lord, one of the reasons I wanted to come here was so that maybe she could go to that home and maybe she could get some help. And we prayed that she would come out of it. Her birthday was December 26th. December 27th, the doctors came in and they unhooked her from the machines. My mom couldn't do it on her birthday. December 27th, the doctors came in and before they unhooked her, We held hands and I watched my mother kiss my sister on the forehead, and I did the same. And soon they unhooked the machines, and you could hear that noise of the machines just flatlined. And just like that, in minutes, she was gone. Man, I was here trying to find a house to live in, trying to lead a youth group, trying to get accustomed. I'd only been here for a few weeks. People coming to me from every direction and wanting to know, Brother Judah, is your music conservative? And Brother Judah, what about this? And what about that? And telling me all these things. And here I am struggling. And listen, it's not about me. All I want to say is when I became overwhelmed, there's a place by God. There's a place to hide. There's a place where you can hide. Next, this place by God is a place of choosing. You'll choose to go there. It's a place of hiding. It's a place of strengthening. It's a place of strengthening. You read verses 21 to 23. You want to know what happened when Moses found himself at that place by God? He received the strength that he needed. Hey, who are we kidding? Who are we kidding thinking we can do the work of God in the energy of the flesh? I don't care, friend. I don't care how big your bus route is. I don't care how many visitors you bring to church. If you're doing the work of God in the energy of the flesh, you will grow weak and you will fail. And if it doesn't happen here at this college, it'll happen when you're in the ministry someday. I'm telling you, you need to find that place of by God. If for no other reason, you need the strength that comes there. This place by God is a place of strengthening. Hey, don't get too impressed with yourself. You're pretty weak. You're pretty weak. I don't care. The strongest Christian in this room could fall tomorrow. You've heard pastors say it many times. The wisest man in Solomon, the strongest man in Samson, the most spiritual man in David. Hey, the devil got a target on them, and they all had their moment to fall, and you and I are no different. Listen, every day we need to find that place by God. We need to get there in humility. We need to say, God, we're weak, and we need the strength that can only come from this place right here. If you're not in the habit of doing that, friend, you're a little too busy. You need to find the place by God. It's a place of choosing. You'll choose to go there. It's a place of hiding. It's a place of strengthening. And finally, and I'm through, it's a place of standing. Standing. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 21. The Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. This place by God, ultimately, at the end of the day, friend, it's a place where you learn to stand. It's a place of standing. A place of standing. I was preaching this past week for Pastor Jenkins in Michigan, the teen spec there, and we had a group text going with all the preachers that were in the meeting. And these guys are being crazy, you know, Brother Dignan, and I'm just going to say it because I've told everybody, and I think it's the funniest thing in the world. He was preaching. If you've ever heard him preach, he does those cartwheels, and I would do them, but I just want to have him have his thing. But no, he does those cartwheels. He'll get all fired up, and he's a big guy, and he does those cartwheels, and inevitably, I've preached with him dozens of times, and inevitably, he does the cartwheel. The whole crowd goes, oh, see that 500-pound man doing those cartwheels? Yes. And man, he did it, you know, he did the cartwheel. He was preaching on Jesus and did the cartwheel and took one step and froze. He's going to appreciate this. And he said, he turned up, he looked at me, he said, Brother Judah, I just split my pants. and brother, he did, man, and it was the funniest thing in the world. And I started laughing, and I was cracking up, and he jumped up on the platform, and I've never seen him be so still and reserved. He stayed right behind the pulpit. So all the speakers were giving him a hard time, as you can imagine. We were just sending these text messages and laughing at him and just crack it up. Send him all the little memes, you know, the umpire squatting a little too low and all that stuff. We were sending him all that, just laughing, just giving him a hard time. It was great. It was great. Then Brother Jenkins, that old man of God, that wise man of God. Hey, that man who I am convinced has found a place by God. I know he has. He sent one text message. He didn't join in any of the jokes, any of the laughs, any of the memes. He sent one text message. This is what it said. Thank you, men, for preaching. Stay close, stay clean. God needs you. And I thought to myself, man, I don't know if God needs me or not, but I need him. And I need to stay close and I need to stay clean. And the only way I'm going to do it, hey, there's a place by God. And if I'm ever going to stand in front of a youth group, stand behind a pulpit, stand in front of a church, stand on the mission field, stand and preach to a lost and dying world like some of you dream of doing, I'm going to tell you right now, you'll have to find that place by God, because at the end of the day, it's a place of standing. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Where are you at today? I'm telling you, there's a whole slew of young people that need to say, I'm going to choose this place by God. Hey, behold, there is a place. There is a place. I thrill at hearing about prayer meetings and hearing about divisions meeting at other places. And we get together, Brother Judah, and we pray. Hey, every Sunday afternoon, teenagers and I, we get together and we pray. What are you praying for? Sometimes the needs are different. But at the end of the day, we're just trying to find the place by God. Because if we can get to that place, everything's going to be all right, friend. There's a place by God. It's a place of choosing. It's a place of hiding when you're overwhelmed, when you're discouraged. You can find that place of God. You can hide there when you're too weak to stand, when you're overcome with defeat. Listen to me, young people. You can hide at that place by God. It's a place of strengthening. You'll find strength when you get to that place by God. And at the end of the day, you'll come up out of there just like Moses leading those people. It's a place of standing. Place of standing. One last story and I'll be through. I've not told the story in years. It's not original with me. I didn't even take the time to find all the details of the story. I'm just going to throw it out there. Give the invitation. I heard it as a teenager and it motivated me. You heard about the atheist who filled the auditorium in Philadelphia at the turn of the century. He was smart. He was intellectual. Put out a flyer saying he wanted all the Christians to come to this auditorium, this great tabernacle, and he was going to debate and prove that there was no God. You've heard the story. It's a true story. He stood there Monday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night. He was so sharp and so smart and so filled with secular education and so eloquent of speech. Nobody dare say a word. He just stood there on a platform and proved there was no God. Finally, on Thursday night, a little girl in the balcony had had enough, and prompted by God, she just stood up, and as this atheist said, come on, come down here and debate, anybody, go get your preacher, go get your pastor, go find an event, anybody, I'll debate anybody, there is no God. Little girl stood up, and she just began to sing softly, stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross. And that began to spread, and soon her whole section was singing, lift high his royal banner. And soon the whole balcony, it must not suffer loss. And then like a mighty chorus, from victory unto victory, the whole place was singing, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. The sound rang out like a heavenly choir, and then they noticed that the platform was empty, and somebody shouted, hey, where's the atheist? And somebody shouted back, the atheist ran out when the little girl stood up. And what we need in this world, what this country needs, are some young people that learn to stand, to stand, to stand, to cast away the works of darkness. But listen, hey, find that place. Find that place. Would you bow your heads, please, and close your eyes? The altar is open.